It's Mother's Day. I haven't forgotten. But we're going to keep studying Titus. We're going to acknowledge and love and be thankful for mothers, but we're going to continue on, and it's kind of unorthodox in a sense, just by culture, not biblically, to preach a message concerning older men on Mother's Day. Have you ever sat through a message like that? That's what we're going to do today, because these are the next verses in Titus. I thought about skipping down to where we talk about the aged women, the younger women, and so on and so forth, but we're just going to continue in order and trust God's word and the message he has for us in looking at that this morning. I've titled the message, and I'm bringing extraordinary older men. And we'll be looking at that message, which comes from Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So are you there with me? Titus 2, verses 1 and 2. Let's read I'll lead us in reading God's word, and then we'll go to him in prayer. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Let's pray. Fathers, we have your word before us this morning. I pray that we would see that clearly, that there would be application across the board for each one of us, because your word is good for us. Whether it be specific, immediate, personal application for the older men in the congregation this morning, or application for the men and women who are younger, or children even, to respect those godly examples, to learn from, to pray for, to seek to be similar to the godly examples lived out through older men. Lord, we make up a local congregation here by your design, by your grace, and you have written these scriptures to the congregation to be lived out, to be godly, so that we may adorn your truth, dressing up the gospel as a witness and testimony to others around us. So help us, Lord, as we endeavor to apply these truths to our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There's an unnamed author that penned these words. This is not scripture. You'll soon find that out. Thought I'd let my doctor check me, because I didn't feel quite right. All those aches and pains annoyed me, and I couldn't get to sleep at night. He couldn't find no real disorder, but he couldn't let me rest. What with Medicare and Blue Cross, it wouldn't hurt to do some tests. To the hospital he sent me. Though I didn't feel that bad, he arranged for them to give me every test that could be had. I was fluoroscoped and cystoscoped, my aging frame displayed, lying on an ice-cold table with my gizzards all x-rayed. I was checked for worms and parasites, for fungus and the crud, while they pierced me with long needles, taking samples of my blood. Doctors came to check me over, prodded, pushed, and poked around. And to make sure that I was living, they wired me up for sound. They have finally concluded. The results have filled a page. What I have will someday kill me, and it's called old age. I feel a little bit young to read something like that and relate exactly, but I'm sure with your chuckles you could relate. I want you to consider older age, particularly older men who are older in age. To help that, I have something else. This is a short list of how to know you're getting older, and you can let me know how accurate this list is, you senior men particularly. How to know you're getting older. Number one, everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. Number two, you feel like the night before and you haven't been anywhere. You sit in a rocking chair, but you can't get the thing to rock. Your knees buckle, but your belt won't. The little gray-haired lady you help across the street, she's your wife. You sink your teeth into a juicy steak, but they stay there. When you know all the answers, but no one asks you any questions. When you decide to procrastinate, but you never get around to doing it. I don't know, in a humorous way, I think many times there are those who are advanced in years that could relate. Think about older age, because that's what God was calling Titus to consider when Paul wrote to him and said, "This is what I want you to teach and exhort the older men in the congregation to do, to be, to live." And so Titus 2 really begins focusing on the congregation, whereas chapter 1 was really on focusing on two other groups of people. One, spiritual elders, pastor, elder, bishops, pastors in the congregation. What they should be like, whom they should not, or what they should not characterize. And then he gets to, then he speaks of obviously false teachers, those who were leading astray the congregation, who must be silenced. They were unruly, they were rebels. We looked at that last week. But then this week we begin another all-inclusive list that speaks of all different ages and seasons of life within the congregation. And he begins with, by God's design, the senior by age, most elderly believers, men in the congregation. Ladies, whew, Mother's Day message, all right, we're saved. We don't have to hear something like that this morning. But there is a tremendous call to action, and even women, in this message. Old age is commonly dreaded by men, and probably all, sometimes because it usually means physical decline, doesn't it? Less activity. Some people tend to lose their enthusiasm for life and spend too much time in fruitless reminiscing, or what we would refer to as simply self-pity. They feel like old Jimmy. You ever heard of old Jimmy? Old Jimmy was an elderly gentleman that George Mueller referred to in his writings often. He often talked about old Jimmy. And when this man asked what he did all day since he had retired, old Jimmy would reply like this: "I just sit and think. And sit and think. And sometimes I just sit." Isn't that getting old in the worst way? Just kind of giving up and stopping living before you even die? History records that many people made some of the greatest contributions in life after the age of, can you guess? After the age of 65. Let me give you a short list of some of those individuals. You remember studying in history about Galileo. He made his greatest discovery when he was 73 years old, men. Michelangelo was 90 when he painted the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel while lying on his back on a makeshift scaffolding. Please don't do that here at the church work day. I don't know, that'll kind of look cool on the ceiling, though. You know, I didn't have to think about it. No getting any ideas. All right. 69, Hudson Taylor. Do you remember him? Hudson Taylor, at 69 years old, was still vigorously working in the mission field. Merriam-Webster was 70 when he wrote the dictionary that we are so familiar with. Moses in the Old Testament was 80 years old when God called him to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. And Caleb, do you remember the end of Joshua? 85 years old when he took the stronghold of the giants. Now, many of you might not run out of here, men. In fact, some of you senior men probably shouldn't run out of here this morning, trying to take over a stronghold of giants or paint some artwork on the ceiling here. But let me tell you this, God never intends for any of us to retire from spiritual activity. God says we can still bring forth fruit in old age, and God wants older believers, men and women alike, to keep serving Him. Life is not over for older men. You have an invaluable, crucial part of the body of Christ within the congregation. And God speaks directly to you. Within the church, Christian older men are called upon to set an example of godly living and of spiritual maturity. For this reason, Paul admonished Titus to teach the older men how they ought to carry themselves, how they ought to live. So the idea from our text, verses 1 and 2, I wish I could spend the time and unpack verse 1 in a message all of its own, but I think we're going to look at verse 1 and 2 together this morning, and you are going to see what I believe is clearly seen in here, and that is that sound, here it is, you can write it down if you like, sound doctrine impacts the behavior of older men. Sound doctrine impacts our behavior as believers one way or another. And Paul tells Titus that we are to teach and lead and speak in the things that are sound doctrine with a result of impacting the living of the church. And so he begins this list of older men and then older women and then younger men and younger women and this whole list of all ages and seasons of life on how they are to be impacted from speaking the things that are sound doctrine. So what is meant by sound doctrine here in verse 1 of Titus 2? What kind of impact are we talking about? What sort of an impact is it that comes from sound doctrine? Well, I'd like you to notice six characteristics you see in verse 2 of older men who, in being impacted by sound doctrine, live extraordinary lives for Jesus Christ. Extraordinary older men living for Christ within the congregation. Notice verse 1. But speak the things which become sound doctrine. In the original, the first word in chapter 2 in verse 1 is actually thou or you. And Paul was contrasting by saying that to Titus, by writing that way. He was contrasting what Titus should do with what the false teachers had been doing. Remember back in verse 9 of chapter 1, holding fast a faithful word as he'd been taught, that he may be able to, with sound doctrine, or by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Who are the gainsayers? Those who are unruly. He unpacks that in verses 10 through 16. And he says that you are to confront them with truth. You are to use sound doctrine. You are to preach and teach. And then he gets to verse 1, which is actually kind of interesting. Won't spend the time to unpack this fully this morning. But the speaking the things that become sound doctrine is not necessarily speaking about preaching and heralding the truth, but it's that in every conversation, in every conduct, when you speak, when you're talking about Ford or Chevy, or you're talking about what sports team, or what you're going to eat, or where you're taking your wife or Mother's Day meal, whatever it might be, that conversation is that which can be called, is based on and is part of sound doctrine. It is godly. It is biblical. It is sound. It is pleasing to God in all that we do and say. Men, particularly elderly men. And so in verse 1, he's setting this contrast and going from, here's the unruly rebels. Now, this is how you deal with unruly rebels. Part of silencing them is teaching the congregation to live and speak according to sound doctrine. And it begins with the older men in the congregation. See, false living goes hand in hand with false teaching. Let that settle in for a minute. Where we find, deal, and experience and witness false teaching, false living, it goes hand in hand with a false doctrine or false teaching or lack of teaching altogether. And so Paul told Titus to speak the things which become sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, doctrine being a word for teaching, healthy, sound, biblical teaching. And so we see, firstly, the call is to be sober. Let's look at these words here for a moment and make sure we understand them. Number one, older men are to be balanced, or the word here in verse 2 is sober. Older men are to be balanced or sober. Sober is used in two ways primarily. two ways, and there's two directions that a lot of commentators and theologians and those who study the scriptures will go in. There's two different paths that they'll go in here. And I believe that there is space and there is reason here to believe that they're actually somewhat intertwined. And there's space for both realities. Here they are. First, it is used of men who are sober in contrast to being drunk with wine, with a chemical substance or beverage. The second use of sober is in the analogy of those who are sober-minded about life in general. They have a balanced, sober understanding and a thinking process in life. That is, they are clear-headed. They have self-possession under all circumstances. And do you see how the two go hand in hand? When one is to abstain from something that would control or change or alter your sobriety and your thinking and your cognitive ability, you should abstain from that because we shouldn't try to live intentionally under the control of anything else but the Holy Spirit. But also to have a balanced perspective. And I think in this context, as I mentioned, it's quite possible that both of these ideas are being communicated here in Paul telling Titus to exhort the older men to be sober. As sober, as those who are sober, in the first sense, the aged men are to be blameless and free of influence of alcohol or other controlling substances that cloud and degrade their thinking and their mind's process. But in the second sense, the aged men are to see things as they really are, to not be deceived into seeing things that are better or worse than they are, but those who can discern and go, hey, here's really what's going on. Here's what God's word says on the matter. We don't need to sell the farm or run around with our arms flailing above our head. But here's the reality. This is what's going on. Everybody take a breath and let me explain to you what's happening here. Let's have a sober-minded, intentional approach to circumstances in life. To be sober. To be balanced in thinking. Sober, older men have a balanced view of circumstances in life. They don't have a constantly pessimistic or flippant view on life. We know folks that are like that. You know folks that are like that. Like a curmudgeon. I like that word. It's a negative word, but a curmudgeon. Not like that. The spiritually mature and sober man recognizes both his God-given strength and his weakness. I think there's this here too. I had a godly man one time. We were in a deacon's meeting. We were talking about the construction and update of the building. We were talking about the color of carpet one time. Before I could say so, this godly older man who was willing to just serve the Lord and serve the congregation sort of raised his hand, so to speak, and spoke up in the meeting appropriately. And he said, I think we need to stop here and recognize that we are working outside the realm of our expertise and that it would be best and wisest to have a number of ladies in the church tell us which color would be best for the carpet. He spoke wisdom. It was also self-protection because then we could just blame it on the ladies for the selection, right? But there's a wisdom there, understanding, hey, you know what? I've been a plumber my whole life, and so I'm going to let the electrician work on the electrical stuff instead of, oh, I can just always figure it out, and pssst, off to the hospital he goes with his hair standing on top of his head, right? Recognizing where we are gifted and where we aren't. Recognizing limitations. There are some men that ought not to be on the ladder at the top of a building because they used to roof well, but maybe supervising from the ground, and I understand that's a difficult transition in life. Some have translated this word sober as temperate. Temperate. It reflects a person who is balanced and under spirit control at all times. The older men in the congregation ought to be sober. Secondly, we see another characteristic of these older men. They're to be respectable. or grave, the scriptures say, to be respectable in verse 2, Titus 2, 2. Grave does not imply that it is wrong to have an appropriate sense of humor. I love a good sense of humor. You wouldn't believe the dry, ridiculous dad jokes that were told on the way down from couples retreat down the mountain just yesterday. A good sense of humor is healthy, but a balanced, spirit-controlled sense of humor is wise, it's godly, knowing when and when not to joke. You know, this idea of being grave or being respectful, it's a term that means to be valuable or venerated because of one's character. That is honorable in all dealings and so thusly worthy of respect. One who is respectable. A parallel passage to a lot of these things would be in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, where Paul says there to have good character. Do you see? To be respectable, to have one that has a good, godly character. An older man that has followed God for years, one who has followed after God for years, bears a characteristic of Jesus Christ, his Lord himself. One that you could stand back and say, you know, so-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, that's exactly how I think Christ would deal with that situation. Do you see how he loves and cares for? Do you see how he is careful and guarded in what he says? Do you see how he's balanced and sober in his thinking? That is Christ-like. These are the type of men that Paul is calling Titus to exhort and teach to be like. Older men who have experienced walking in faithfulness to the Lord have much to offer to those of us who are younger. And God, in a way, is saying that those godly older men are worthy of our respect. Do you hear that? Boys, girls, young men, younger women, godly older men are worthy of our respect. We need to honor them. Respect the godly older men in the congregation. Notice a third word, temperate. To be self-disciplined. Older men are to be self-disciplined or temperate. Temperate means to be sound of mind. Now, it seems like it shows that the older you get, sometimes it seems like it's harder to keep the mind all together, right? But to be sound of mind or to be self-controlled, to be self-disciplined. One who is of a sound mind knows how to curb or limit his desires and impulses. He knows how to make wise choices, both in light of what is wrong and what is right. To be self-disciplined, to be temperate. The very same word here that's used in the original appears in Luke chapter 8 and verse 35, where it's translated, in his right mind. A right mind is one renewed by the Word of God, because Paul tells us about this in chapter 12 of Romans. You remember in verse 2? Be not conformed to this world, but be you, here it is, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One who is self-disciplined, temperate, having a mind renewed by God. One that has a mind renewed by the Word of God, looks at things with the values and priorities that God himself, the author of his Word, places on those things. And so a temperate older man will be self-disciplined and have the proper perspective of reality. You notice another word. Notice there in verse 2, yet still, older men are to be sound in doctrine or the faith. To be sound in doctrine, the faith. So by the word sound. Do you notice that word? That word sound. Paul means healthy. So to be sound here, what Paul is saying, means to be healthy. If one's body is to be sound, it means that his body is to be healthy. If you have a sound body, you have a healthy body. So if one's faith is sound, it is a healthy faith. Interestingly, in the Greek New Testament, the word faith is preceded by an article. Why in the world would I bring that up? Well, because the article there is preceded by this. Paul was referring to someone who was sound in the faith, healthy in the faith. And so while the word faith refers to the quality that one has in another, the faith, refers to a body of doctrine. See, the New Testament uses the faith, this way many times. You know, one of those places is in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Let me quickly point those out to you. There, Paul told the believers, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." Later, in 2 Corinthians, his second letter to the same church there, in verses 13 and or chapter 13, verse 5, Paul warns, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves?" How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates in the faith. In the faith. In Galatians 1:23, Paul speaks of those who preach the faith. In Colossians 1:23, Paul speaks of being grounded and settled in the faith. In this very letter to Titus, Paul began the entire epistle with his greeting. Do you remember? You look back at the very beginning. Paul, in chapter 1, verse 1, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness," Titus 1, 1. So a healthy believer, Christians, listen, a healthy Christian is one who is healthy doctrinally and spiritually, sound in the faith. This is to be stereotypical characteristic of godly elder men in the congregation, as well as all believers. These characteristics are telling of being impacted by sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, teaching, preaching, speaking, sound doctrine impacts godly men to be sound in the faith. It's not just pastors who are to be sound in the faith. It's not just missionaries. It's not just leaders within the congregation. But in a most general sense, older men who are natural leaders in the congregation by God's design in the church are to also study diligently the scriptures, which will guide their lives in godliness and sound doctrine. Men, study the scriptures. Know it well. Immerse you in God's word. It will impact you to live godly, to be sound in doctrine. Notice another word, and that is love. It's kind of a difficult word for men sometimes, isn't it? Because of society and the pressures that society puts on that. Older men are to be sound in love. The King James uses the word charity, which I believe is rather weak because charity is more general in a sort of a caring for and giving way, when really the original word there is love, and here it is an agape love, a sacrificial, unconditional, giving sort of a love. Older men are to be sound in love, and this love is God's love, God's kind of love, or the love that is sourced in God, the kind of love that we see as a fruit of the Spirit produced by the Holy Spirit of one who is walking in Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, when you see the list there, it's the same kind of love that's being spoken of. And so this agape love, which is not a phileo love, a brotherly love, an eros love, a physical or sexual love, but an agape love, It's a term, the same term used for love in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, where the characteristics of this love are seen. You might go there. Go to Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and notice these characteristics. Ephesians 5. Well, let us expand our mind. Let's pause for a minute and understand what this kind of love is that is characterized by godly elder men who are impacted by sound teaching, sound doctrine. Notice the four characteristics of this agape love in that passage. This love is a choice of the will. The text says, and walk in love. This kind of love is unconditional. We see that in the statement there, as Christ also hath loved. Christ's love was a sacrificial, unconditional love. And that while, what is it, Romans 5:8? In that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. He commendeth his love toward us. This love is demonstrable. It's something that can be shown and demonstrated. It's not just something that's said. We see this in the text there, and hath given himself for us, a physical love. This love is sacrificial, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Get to know God-like love in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. God says this is the kind of sincere love that should characterize elder men in the faith. This kind of love. We notice one last word this morning here in verse 2. Titus 2, older men are to be sound in their endurance. The word there is patience. To be patient in endurance. The word for endure is a combination of two words that actually mean to abide or to and under. Excuse me. So, combination of two words, to abide and under. This is a combination of these words here that's encapsulated in endure. And so what that means is it speaks of the ability, here it is, to remain faithful to a given task or lifestyle, even under the pressures of difficult circumstances. Wow. That comes from the Spirit of God, walking closely with God, combined with experience of those circumstances of following after God. There's a great deal to learn from godly older men. We need your example. We need godly men who will live out faithfulness under the pressures of circumstances. And sometimes this goes beyond men. This goes beyond just a testimony, oh, I've been there, done that, sonny. You'll get through it. You know, sometimes we need to hear it straight like that. But sometimes, men, you need to slow down and practice more of that loving example and say, hey, I know it's tough. I know it's been hard. But God is good. God is faithful. He sustains, and you must remain faithful. This is the example we need. One commentator noted the word means to remain or stay behind while others go away, or to stand one's ground, to hold out, to endure. In what? In sound doctrine, in faithfulness, healthiness, spiritual healthiness. So in spiritual terms, endurance is the characteristic of those who remain faithful to the cause of Christ and his work, even when others quit. Endurance, patience. As Christians remain sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, charity. What are the results? Well, Paul's writing here. Do you see it? What Paul is saying is the results of these things is that they will be steadfast, enduring, and steadfast and have endurance in their Christian life and walk. What an encouragement to see older Christians, godly, older men, enduring patiently in the race for the prize. Amen? Godly elder men. You know, the message of the scriptures this morning is challenging older men to refuse the easy chair approach to life. Man, I say this on the foundation of the Word of God. Don't listen to the younger pastor. Listen to the Word of God. And the Word of God says, you are not finished. You are needed. You must remain spiritually healthy. And you are a vital part of this congregation, of God's work in the church. God is calling older men and the church to be proactive in their example, proactive in their testimony, proactive in their service and leadership. You could say it this way: ordinary, spirit-filled older men can live as extraordinary examples of Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ. God wants older believers, men and women, to keep on serving Him. Thinking back to some of the silly examples of how we recognize and identify older age, let me say this to you. This is what God is saying to you in Titus 2, verse 2. Life is not yet over for older men. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 16, I won't read that whole passage, but in that text, Paul warns Christians to cast off the idea that you have already attained. Oh, that's dangerous. It's harmful pride. Cast off that idea. You have not attained. You have much experience. You have learned much. You've walked with the Lord for a long time, but you have not yet attained. You have not yet attained. The race is not over. You have not arrived. Rather, Paul teaches in Philippians 3 that you are to follow, you are to reach, you are to press, and that's for all of us. We are to do all of this toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Every Christian, listen, every Christian is called to disciple others. Every Christian is called to make disciples. Following after sound doctrine causes older men to be extraordinary disciple makers. We have extraordinary disciple makers in our congregation, and I give thanks for them. We've had extraordinary men who were disciple makers in some of the most basic, simple ways that God used that have already passed and gone on to glory, and I give thanks for those men. May they serve as testimonies and examples of imperfect men, sinners, but by God's grace used to faithfully walk after the Lord, to walk through the difficulties in life alongside us, and to encourage and to shout and to encourage us along in our walk. Not only does the gospel enable this kind of behavior in older men, but it adorns the gospel and the presentation of the gospel to others. It uses, I think we can use the term rightly in this ordaining. We're going to get to this later on chapter 2, verse 10. Adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. What he's saying there, teaser for when we get there, a little bit of an insight, is that in everything we do and everything we say and however we live, may the gospel be adorned. In that when people look at us, they say, oh, that's how the gospel impacts people's lives. This is what it changes them to live like. This is how they are changed. This is how they're godly. I think the gospel is something I need to know about. I can see a difference. We're to adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you do that as you work to make disciples of Christ, particularly the older men. Ladies, younger men, younger ladies, we're up next. There's more to look at. There's more to see. We're going to look at this next week. But understand this. All of these things were lived out perfectly by Jesus Christ. All of these things are capable for you and me to live out because through Jesus Christ and His grace, He has enabled, He's equipped, He has empowered us. We must remain healthy in doctrine, in all we say, in all we do, so that we adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. All of this because of Christ. All of this for Christ. Lord, strengthen the older men of Calvary Baptist Church to be sober, to be grave, to be temperate, to be sound in faith and charity and patience, please. And in doing so, Lord, they will be a great and an invaluable example of spiritually mature leadership to the rest of the congregation. Cause those who are younger, Lord, to honor and respect, to listen to, and to follow in thanks after the examples of godly older men. Lord, thank you for the older men you have given to the church to strengthen and further your work. Lord, thank you, particularly in light of a focus this morning on Mother's Day. Thank you for moms and grandmothers and women who have invested in the upbringing, the training, the encouraging, the praying for men. Seems like sort of a flipped upside down focus this morning, but it's your focus, Lord. It's your word. Lord, may you cause us to surrender to you, to submit to your teaching, to your word, and be changed by it. Lord, if there's anyone that doesn't know you, Christ as Savior, or this message, or the speaking of the gospel this morning, if it raises questions, I pray that those questions would be brought to those who can provide answers from your word. And there are many here this morning that would be willing to do that. May they leave here with their questions answered from your word. I pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.